I love that old hymn.
Praise the Lord. Breathe on me breath of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I must confess that whenever I do open up the Word of God to study it in preparation for preaching it, I'm very humbled by the fact that God would even bless me with the desire to preach His Word. Yet there's sometimes I look at a passage of Scripture and I'm overwhelmed because it's so great and infinite in its truths. There's really actually nothing more I could add to it. And what I really want to actually do is I really want to just sit back and read it the way it is and just admire it and meditate on it and not even try to attempt to expound on it, because there's no human language, as far as I'm concerned, with the text that we're studying now, that you could find anything proper to say besides what God has already said. Because it's wonderful. And if we ever took out time to think about it and to meditate on it and spend time with it, I think we all must agree. You know, I believe this is why the Holy Spirit said that He will guide you into all truth. I'm just a frail, weak, mortal man. Who am I to expound on such wonderful truths? I'm so amazed how so many people today, especially in this generation of superficial Christianity, how so many men believe it's just so simple to get up and open up the book and teach. Anybody can do it. Anybody can preach. The best preachers I've ever heard is the men that didn't want to do it, because they're aware of the awesome responsibility that God's going to hold them to if they do not preach the Word of God correctly without resting it to say what it's not supposed to say. But we live in a generation today that has little reverence for the truths of God, the Word of God. And I hope that's not true with us. But our Lord said, He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall receive of mine what concerns me, and He'll show it unto you. Nobody can teach the Word of God better than the Holy Spirit. That's why it should be always our prayer every Sunday that the Holy Spirit be our guide, and that He be the one to illuminate our understanding and our hearts and our minds. Because if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't take the truth of God and teach us what it's supposed to mean, we'll never grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because nobody can do the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why I like that old song that says, "Break thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me." One of the verses says, "O send thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see the Lord." We thought about that for a minute. That's exactly what we always need. The Spirit of God to open our eyes to understand the words of God. And it's here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, that we have great need to have our eyes touched by the Holy Spirit of God. For we find in these three verses divine truths that are so amazing, so divine, that only the Holy Spirit of God can teach us. Listen to these words. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Beloved, listen to these words. Listen to John. May the Spirit of God bless us. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We know that we're now the sons of God, but how this thing is going to be ended, how it's going to be fulfilled, We can't apprehend that. We don't understand the end of it. We know now that we're sons of God, but we don't understand the end of it. But watch what he says next. Amazing. But we know, there's faith. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Let that sink in for a minute. We don't know how it's going to end. We know that we're now the sons of God, yes. The Spirit of God crieth unto our spirit, saying, Abba, Father, Romans chapter 8. But we don't know how this thing is going to end, how it's going to be fulfilled in its fullest. But we do know, that's the language of faith, that when He shall appear, and I can't fathom this, we're going to be like Him. We could close the Bible right now, take this truth home, and we should be able to say we've had a service. We've had a meeting with God. We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Who could preach on these words? Who could do justice to these words? That's why this morning when I was looking at it again, I thought, Lord, I'd rather just read them. Say, now go home and pray and meditate over them seriously. And that's about all I can do because there's no human language. There's no way I can expound on this if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't teach us. That's why I don't like when people mess with the Word of God, these new translations. Don't change or alter the words of God. Keep them the way they are. There's nothing wrong with them. Well, we need to make it more easier to understand. We can't make it easier to understand. The Holy Spirit can teach us, though, what it's saying. For then we shall see, we shall be like Him. We will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know what comes to mind when I think about these verses? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ to die for me. Again, you're going to have to think about that. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Can we even imagine what it's going to be like to look at Him in the face? You remember when John seen Him in Revelations, glorified body? He fell as a dead man. That's not going to happen to us. Because we're going to see Him as He is. John couldn't see Him as He is because it wasn't time yet. We're going to see Him and we're not going to fall down as a dead man. We're going to see Him as He is. Think about that question. How is Christ? Somebody sent somebody a picture, supposedly, of Jesus with a verse on it. Actually, it was the actor from Lord of the Rings or something, Star Wars. And I'm kind of like going, what are you doing? There's no way you can fathom what He's going to look like. So don't even try. But I do know that faith tells me I'm going to see Him as He is. Now, what does that mean? We know He's the Son of God, but we're going to see Him. We're going to see God face to face. We're going to see God face to face. You know what God told Moses? No one has seen my face and lived. But this is what Christ has got us in salvation. Listen to me. We're justified by faith. That's a legal standing, legal statement. I'm justified. God has forgiven me for all my sins. He's taken them and He's wiped them away as far as the east from the west. My sins are forgiven. God will never see my sins. They're blotted out. The blood of Jesus has covered my sins. I'm a justified man before God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's glorious. But John takes it a step further. We're not just justified, forgiven of sins. Christ's salvation has brought something much greater than that. The end goal of justifying you was not to get you to heaven. It was to get you to be like Christ. You're now born of God. It's called regeneration. Born again. And John says, we're now the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father, sons, bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God or sons of God. Therefore, the world don't know us because he didn't know Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear how this is going to end up, but we know. That's the language of faith. It's almost contradicting, right? He says, we don't know yet what it's going to be like, but we know this. It does not yet appear, but we know. Beautiful language of faith. People ask us to explain faith. Are you kidding? How can I explain faith? That's why I'm telling you, faith is nothing that you and I have in ourselves. We never had the faith to believe in God, because that's a divine gift. People say, well, I have faith to believe in Christ, that's why I'm saved. No, you're saved because Christ gave you faith to believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. God gave you and I the faith to believe. And now we see things the world don't see. We believe things the world don't know. We trust in a God we've never seen. We have hopes of heaven we've never touched. John says, we don't know yet. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We know now we're the sons of God. That's never going to change. But how this whole thing is gloriously going to end, we can't apprehend that. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Another old gospel song. Listen to the words. Beautiful. And is it so? I shall be like thy Son? Is this the grace which He for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to His own blessed likeness brought. You're not going to be able to touch this if you're not saved this morning. If you're here this morning and you've been playing religion all your life and you're not born again and you've never received the Spirit of God, you're never going to understand this. This is going to be something that's just going to go over your head so far, you're never going to be able to comprehend it. But if you have faith, if Christ has given you the Spirit of God, you've been born again, you need to spend time on this. If you want to really have a good, blessed day and the day's falling, you need to think on this one. Okay? We're now the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we will be like Him. Beloved, so many Christians understand salvation so superficially. Ask them to explain what happened. What Christ obtained for us. Well, let me think. He died on Calvary, paid my sin debt, and now I'm going to heaven. I'm born again. Amen. Much more than that. Beloved, if you don't give yourself time to meditate and think on these things, if all your Christianity is living in the shadow of Sunday preaching, you're losing out. You're your worst enemy. If you don't take these things home, if you don't meditate on them, if you don't pray about them and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal unto you what John's trying to say, you're going to be a very poor Christian. I didn't say unsaved. I said a very poor Christian. You have to get into the deep things of God, which only the Spirit of God can reveal unto you. Meditate on them. Think about them. That's what me and Jack can get along so well. We're nature nuts. Walked out in my backyard this morning. I'm glad I live. I don't live out this far in the country, but I do got a little bit of nothing behind me, trees and bushes. And you go out there and see two hummingbirds flying around today and a hawk flying over and smell the fresh country air and look at this creation and think, this is a corruptible creation here. It's been corrupted by sin and I adore it. Just think what it's going to be like to see heaven's creation with this, that's not been corrupted by sin. Can you imagine that? And to be like Christ. Christ has done more than save me from my sin. He's allowed me to come into the family of God. I'm going to be, at the end of all this, like Him. Not a God. Don't misunderstand. We're not all going to be gods. There's only one God. But I'm going to be like Him. But we know that when He shall appear, this isn't speculation or a possibility for John. Do we know this? But it's a divine truth secured in the heart of the believer by faith. It may not yet appear what we shall be, but we know we shall be like Him. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12? He said this, "For now we see through a glass darkly." It's like when these windows would be all messed up and dirty. You kind of see vainly shadows through it. That's how we see the things of eternity at the moment. We're still in this present world. So we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face. Now I know in part, Paul said. I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. I know in part. Do we hunger after the things of God? I mean, seriously, ask yourself that question. I ask myself that question over and over this morning, looking at this passage of Scripture new. Do we hunger after the things of God? Do we really, truly hunger after the things of God? Paul said, "I know in part." In Philippians, he says, "I'm running after a prize. Not that I've apprehended, but I'm running after that which has apprehended me, which has caught me, which is Christ. There's so much about Him, so much I don't know yet about Him that I can't stop but searching for Him. I want to know more about Jesus." That old Southern gospel, "I want to know more about my Jesus. Yes, I do. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that country." That's what the Spirit of God does in a believer. He creates in us a desire, a hunger. Even though at one time we're filled, the Lord said, "Those that hunger after righteousness shall be filled." It's kind of a contradictory thing, isn't it? But a believer is filled and hungry at the same time. In this world, the true believer knows, but in part. But faith assures us of an eternity with Christ. Look over at Isaiah 64. I want you to read these passages of Scripture with me. Isaiah 64. Paul will quote this in the New Testament. Isaiah 64. This was already known in the Old Testament. Isaiah 64. Look at verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Listen to this. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Man can't even imagine what God has prepared. Now look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul quotes this passage of Scripture, but he extends it a little bit. He adds to it a little bit for us. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. Listen to these. Listen to the words of God. "But as it is written," we just read it, "eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Different phrases, huh? That loved Him. Love Him. But watch verse 10. "But God," He adds, listen to it, "but God hath revealed them unto us by His" what? "His Spirit." So you see, no matter how religious one professes to be, if you're not really born again, you're not going to be able to get any comfort from the Word of God. Virtually impossible. Because it takes the Spirit of God to reveal it unto us. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're never going to understand the text. What do you mean understand? Oh, intellectually. But it's never going to grab your heart and your soul. It's never going to give you such a hunger and desire for Christ that all you want to do is live for Him. It's never going to give you that love
and that adoration and that worship and that praise and that hunger to know more of Him, you're going to simply be religious. A vain, empty vessel that goes to church, sits on a pew, and hopes when he dies he can get into heaven. What a miserable life. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Christ intimately, personally, in this life, what makes you think you're going to know Him in the next that way? It's not going to happen. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm telling you, man. I was standing in the store this morning. I usually don't like to go on Sundays, but I had to today because we had to get chicken. I didn't have, anyway, long story. Some guy's in another line. He's got a t-shirt on his shorts. You know he's not going to church like that. And he met some guy over in the other line. He said, "Hey, bud, how you doing?" He said, "I'm doing all right. How are you?" He goes, "Living in paradise." And I wanted to turn around and say, "Sir, let me tell you what paradise is. This is not paradise. Buying a bucket of chicken in shorts on Sunday. Let me tell you what paradise is. Let me try to describe it to you." It just brought this more to life. I mean, God has been so infinitely good to us. You know what He's given us? You know what Christ has wrought for us? Not only forgiveness of sins, but He's brought us into the family of God. He's made us part of Him. And for some reason unknown to me, Christ wants to spend eternity with us. "Father, I will." John 17, that prayer. Christ said this, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am." John 17:24. "Father, I will." I preached on that here, I think, once or twice, but just to remind you, that's the first time when Christ ever recorded, anyway, in God's Word, when Christ prayed to the Father, that Christ didn't say, "Father, Your will." It's the first time He says, "I will." Christ is demanding of the Father that whom Thou hast given me, I want them to be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory. Why? You know, sometimes I get so excited I want to jump a pew, but I'm afraid I'll give a few of you a heart attack. I'm not charismatic, but there's nothing wrong with getting excited when God floods your soul and reveals unto you something about Christ that is amazing. Don't let them steal all the fun. Okay? If we even grasp a part of this, we would never be the same. And you know what? For some of you, I might not be old, but I am going to be 60 this year. And if the Lord don't come back, I'm going to go meet Him, but you know what? I guarantee you, I believe with all my heart, before my body's cold, I'm going to be in the arms of my Savior, and I'm telling you, don't ever try to get me out. I'm going to see Him as He is, and I'm going to be like Him. I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful. So why can't we think about it now? Why can't we just always have a little foretaste of heaven? Don't let the world drag you down and all the problems and troubles that come with the world and the daily decisions. I know sometimes they drag us down. The world will drag us down. Set your affections on things above, Colossians, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Fix your heart on God. Think about 1 John 3. Fall in love with Christ anew. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we fall out of love with our partners. We do. It's kind of old. Marriage gets kind of old. We're with each other all the time. Sometimes we just need to rekindle that love. That's why it's good to have a date night or time alone. You know, people talking about their kids and everything and saying, "Well, my kids are growing up. They'll be out of the house and I just don't know what to do." I said, "Listen, the problem with most marriages, when the kids leave the house, the father and mother look at each other and wonder who each other is because they haven't talked to each other for years. They lost each other with the kids. Don't do that. I don't think I'm dealing with that much here. I think Arthur already flown the coop. But don't you like to rekindle that love sometimes? Don't you like to just feel like you're teenagers again and just kind of like young again? One of the problems with the church in Laodicea is they left their first love. You don't think you need to rekindle and refresh your love with Christ continually. You're missing out. You need to be reminded of that. The world weighs us down sometimes. And all the problems and worries we have. Get alone somewhere with God, with eternity, with Christ. Read 1 John. Be reminded of who He is and what He is. Be reminded that you're now a son of God, a daughter of God. Look for 1 John chapter 3. You say, I really want that. Well, if you really want that, let me close with this. I want to close with the evidence. I hate closing this verse out. These verses out. I'd like to just keep going. But 1 John chapter 3, here's the evidence. You really want it? This is what happens. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, what hope? When Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope, you know how he specifies that? If you have this hope in you, what are you going to do? Purify himself, even as pure. Christianity is not a set of standards. It's a life. The life of God in the soul of man. Paul said we're changed daily into His image. It's a life. It's not a set of rules and regulations. People say, why do you do what you do? Why don't you do this? Why do you do this? It's not a set of rules and regulations. It's a life. And if I have this kind of hope in me, I want to be pure like He's pure. I want to be a Christian. I want to walk worthy of His name. I want to be able to tell everybody about His love. I want to show everybody about His grace. I want to show people that I hate sin and I love God. I want to be different. Why? Because I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And one day He's coming. And when He appears, I want to be like Him. I don't want to be ashamed of His coming. So if I have this hope, I'm going to purify myself. What's that mean? Keep away from sin. Amen? Live a good life. Read Scripture. Let this book get into your heart. And I don't mean just the surface. Let it get into your heart. This book will not get into your heart without meditation and prayer. I guarantee you. Daily readings of just a daily devotion and going on in life is not going to sustain you. I guarantee you know that already. Because when troubles come, you fall over like a domino piece. Give this word, read it slowly, meditate over it, pray over it, ask the Holy Spirit to show you something, ask Him to hold something out before you that you might see. Do that especially when preaching comes, it's the preaching of the Word. Nothing drives the Word of God deeper into our hearts than preaching. Do you know that? Preaching can never be sacrificed or replaced by singing, by counseling, by a little sermonette. Nothing can be replaced preaching. Nothing. When God begins to take away preachers, it's a good sign God's not very happy with His church. Read the Old Testament. Between Malachi and Matthew, 430 years approximately, there wasn't one prophet. There wasn't one oracle of God. Why? God was mad at His people. They didn't hear from God for 430 years. And then John the Baptist shows up in camel hair eating locusts and honey, saying, repent. Pray for somebody. Pray for me. Sometimes I just don't feel worthy to stand up here and say anything. I want to just say, read it. Let's just read it. Think about it. Pray for it. And then go home. Because I can never do anything more than what the Holy Spirit can do. The Word of God is perfect in all ways. Buddy's ordained preachers to preach the Word. So therefore, I need your prayers. Amen. 1 John 3:1-3. What a text. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so unworthy, and yet in Christ we're made more than worthy. We're made sons of God. Father, May we constantly be reminded of the manner of love you bestowed upon us in giving us your only begotten Son in Jesus Christ. May we be reminded not only of your death, your life, your death, and your resurrection and burial, but Lord, may we be reminded what you brought for us, what you wrought for us in salvation. You've not only justified us from our sins forever, Lord, you've brought us into the family of God. You've given us regeneration. You've given us new birth. We are now the sons of God. Thank you, dear God. Thank you so much. Lord, we look forward to that day when we shall see you as you are, for we shall be like you. What a glorious day. Dear God, bless us now as we prepare to fellowship. May it be sweet. May it be comforting. May it be encouraging. May it be around you. We love you and thank you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you across the street.